loaded show for y'all today. Excited to get into everything. We've got a fun new game that I know you're going to love, plus an old favorite for you. So why don't we just get into it? Let's just get started. Stop pussyfooting around and jump in. It's time to play. Is this an advertisement for an online gambling site or a promotion for a brokerage account? I don't know if you're going to get it or not. This is pretty tricky. They are awfully similar, which in itself is amusing, if not hilarious, and also very, very, very telling. So let's start with this one. Get your first bet back. If your first cash bet loses, you'll get it back as a bonus bet up to $1,000. Okay, that one's kind of on the nose. Bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Also kind of on the nose. Get a 3% boost on all deposits. Gold membership will also get you unlimited 1% boost on all deposits you make into your account. There's no cap on the boosts you can earn. A little trickier. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonuses. All right. Those are tricky. A lot of similarities, some differences. I know it's a tough one. And all of it just seems way too good to be true. All this free money that's floating around out there. How do these companies even make any money if they're just giving it all away? All right. But if you guessed, 3% boost on all deposits and the gold membership gets you an unlimited 1% on all deposits without a cap. You are correct. That is the promotion for online for the brokerage platform Robinhood. For the brokerage platform Robinhood. Robinhood, if you recall, is the mythical character portrayed in many movies and books, and he would steal from the rich to give to the poor. And Robinhood, the brokerage platform, claims that they are interested in treating everyone the same, not giving special treatment to the rich, and being good to regular folks like you and I. So maybe that's the connection there. I did a brief search on why Robinhood is called Robinhood, and I guess that's kind of it. And at the end of our conversation today, you'll be able to make your own determination as to whether or not that's really what's going on here, or if something else is going on here. But I point that out. It's like I saw that advertisement for the 3% boost on all the deposits you roll in if you are transferring over money from a retirement account, an IRA, into Robinhood's IRA, you get 3% boost on everything you roll over. So it's a substantial amount of money, and that actually might be worth it. I do believe that there's a time limit or a time horizon, time period. You must leave the money on the platform, so you can't just roll money on in there and then roll it back out with the 3% that they're giving you. But you have to look into that yourself. And again, like everything else, you can make your own determinations and decisions about all this. I just thought it was a little bit funny that a lot of the marketing, the advertising, the way that they're trying to attract people onto their platform, not dissimilar from the same way that new online gambling sports betting platforms are trying to get people onto the platform as well. One might also say if you were to actually, if you were able to legally advertise drugs, you were a drug dealer, you would probably advertise something like this just to get people hooked, get them a little bit of a taste, get them in there, get them using the platform, get them comfortable. And that's where you then kind of get them, or at least get them for a little while. But we'll talk a little bit about that too. So that was it. The Robinhood advertisement. But here is kind of the thing. And whether it's nefarious or sinister or whatever, by taking part in these promotions, specifically this promotion, you have become the product. That's right. Just like you're the product on social media, you are the product with your brokerage account as well. Congratulations. Is this true of all brokerage accounts and all brokerage platforms? Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Do all of them make money in similar ways? Yes. Yes, they do. But I think that one of the big problems that I'm going to discuss and get into is, does it make sense for me as the investor to be making lots of trades, to be on an app and to be engaging, to be highly engaged, to be spending a lot of time on it? Like social media, the answer is no. They've definitively been proven that social media is certainly not lived up to or fulfilled the promise of making deeper connections and connecting more people. And it's probably more of a net negative than it is a net positive. But like everything else, I am guilty of, again, yucking your yum. If you are into sports betting or if you're into Robin Hood and all this kind of stuff, you're probably not interested in hearing this, but this is just my perspective. So is it good? Is it bad? How could any of this be good? And I guess fundamentally, it's what's the point of a brokerage account? Like why does a brokerage account exist? And briefly, a brokerage account is not unlike a bank account. It just has greater capacity and ability. So a brokerage account, you go to your favorite brokerage account provider, Fidelities of the world, Charles Schwab, Vanguard, Robinhood, your bank. You can open up an account, which is not dissimilar from a bank account, but it just allows you to buy and sell stuff. And you can't do that with your checking account, but with a brokerage account, you can buy stocks, you can buy bonds, you can buy mutual funds, exchange traded funds, cryptocurrency, you could trade options, stuff like that. And when it comes to that, I just don't think that I want to be the product. I think that it's designed so that the product is the security that I'm interested in buying and or selling. I don't think that me, the user, the investor, is not the product. But that leads me to my next game, which is one of my favorite games to play. Good old F, Mary, Kill. This is going to be F, Mary, Kill Brokerage Platform Edition. All right. So today's contestants, today's players in F, Mary, Kill are Charles Schwab, Fidelity, and Robinhood. So let's get started. Question is, who am I going to marry? Who to marry?
Mom, I'm getting married.
I'm going to marry Fidelity and Charles Schwab. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to lean on my good friends at Investopedia to do all the heavy lifting on this one, because for me, little old me, to go through and analyze the differences, the benefits, the pros and the cons of all these different brokerage platforms, why would I do that when you have such a trusted source like Investopedia, who's already done the legwork on our behalf? So if you're curious where I found all of this, you can just Google in Investopedia top brokerage accounts of 2023, 2024. And they named Fidelity as number one and essentially Charles Schwab as number two. Best overall was Fidelity. And that was because just the metrics that they used, the best for low costs was Fidelity. And they deemed that the best for beginners was Charles Schwab. So if you find yourself in the market for a brokerage account or some kind of a financial platform, it's hard to go wrong with Fidelity and or Schwab. That is just my humble opinion. Thing about these companies is you can do just about anything that you would, that your heart desires. You can have a brokerage account where it's taxable, which means it's not inside of a qualified plan. It's not an RIA or an IRA. But you can also open up an IRA. You can trade all the different things. You can open up managed accounts. You can interact with financial professionals. You can open up college savings accounts, really everything that your heart could possibly desire, and all reasonably and transparently priced and presented in a way that I believe is healthy. So by process of elimination, it is time to kill.
I will look for you. I will find you. and I will kill you.
So I'm going to kill Robin Hood. I'm going to kill Robin Hood. Sorry, not sorry. Robin Hood, they make money in a lot of different ways, but the most notably is they make it through a system called payment for order flow. So that means that Robinhood routes all of its users, you and I, its investors' orders through a market maker who actually makes the trades and then compensates Robinhood for the business at a rate of a fraction of a cent per share. So I go on, I buy a share of a stock, it goes through this market maker who is executing on the trade and then paying Robinhood a very, very small percentage per share for each one of those transactions. Okay, so Robinhood is making money and making more money based on how many transactions that I, as the investor, is making. Okay, they also make money by investing the users, you and I, our cash deposits at a higher interest rate than they're paying. They do margin lending, they do stock lending. And then they have their gold subscription suite of services that I talked about at the beginning. And they have a crypto business as well. They have credit cards. All these things bring in revenue. But bottom line is almost three quarters, 73% of their revenue comes from user transactions. So they make three quarters of all their revenue based on you and I trading and doing transactions. Bottom line, they want you to trade more. Bottom line, they make more money the more you trade. So, like so many other things in modern living, you know, like social media, again, you, dear listener, are the product. You're the product. Is that good? Is that bad? Is it indifferent? I think the question is that a winning strategy for you? Is that good for you? Is more trading, more activity good for you? Is it good for your financial situation? What do you think? What do you think? Is that good for you? For me, it's a hard no, like real hard, like rock fucking hard. Hard as it gets. No, that's not good. Did you know? Did you know? Only 13% of day traders maintain consistent profitability over 6 months. Put that a different way. 13% of people who are buying and selling stocks every day make money over the course of 6 months. And 1% succeed over the course of 5 years. Wow. Well, that's evidence right there. This is according to FINRA, which is the body that regulates financial stuff. So financial losses, 72% of day traders ended the year with financial losses. Okay, so let's go through that again. Only 13% maintain consistent profitability over 6 months. 72% of day traders lose money every year. Only 1% succeed over the course of 5 years. So what does this mean again? If Robinhood is making money by you trading more, do you think that they're working and incentivizing you to do that? I think that the answer is yes. I don't know. This is my opinion about it. How would I know? I'm just guessing. You got to follow the money. If they make 73% of their revenue from you trading, again, you're the product. That's where all the revenue comes from. Three quarters of it and three quarters essentially of people that are doing this are losing money. Okay. So case closed. I don't know. You make your own decision. While we're talking about online betting and gambling, just so you know, professional sports bettors rarely maintain winning percentages above 56%. Like the best of the best win around 53% of the time. To break even as a profitable professional sports bettor, you need to be winning about 52.4% of the time. Okay. So those are the professionals. How are the average folks doing? Regular folks that see that promo that I was talking about a minute ago, opening up an account and just start betting. You know, again, I don't know. I don't know that that's publicly, if that's knowable. They have to share that information about the likelihood of you winning or the actual results. They don't care about the likelihood because, you know, that is what it is. They make the lines when you're gambling or you're betting. So that's sort of giving you the likelihood, the odds of you winning. But what the actual results are, I can't imagine that that's publicly, that's public information. You never know. So but why is this different? Because it is. It's a lot different. When you're betting on a game, let's say you're betting on an NFL football game, you only have to be right once. You're picking potentially a winner, and you're picking against the spread a lot of the time. So you only have to be right once. Let's see. The Patriots are playing the Jets. The Patriots are favored by 3. Hey, you pick the Patriots to win. They win by 6. You win the bet. The Jets, if the Patriots win by 2 or the Jets win, you lose. Okay? So that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But with trading stocks, you've got to be right 2 times, not just once. What do you mean? Well, you need to buy it at the right price, and then you have to sell it at the right price as well. So you have to be right 2 times in order to make money. Okay? Super easy to buy and sell shares of stock, but not that easy to do it effectively where you're actually buying it at the right price and selling at the right price. And there's a lot that goes into that, but so much of it is emotional. That's the reality about the way that we interact with money and make decisions about things. It's based emotionally. Rest in peace, Daniel Kahneman. He passed away last week, but he figured out through his work on the wonderful book, Thinking Fast and Slow, that we make around 90% of our decisions based on money, emotionally. Now, we just don't do a lot of it logically. It's the way we feel about things. And we freak out when we see that our stock is going down. I think intellectually, we all know that we're supposed to buy when things are low and sell when things are high. Right? Got it. But our brains want to do the exact opposite. My brain wants to sell when things are low and they want to buy when things are high. I mean, the Bitcoin or crypto craze from a couple of years ago, all anybody wanted to talk about Bitcoin when it was all at all-time highs, and then it went down to $15,000 and it was crickets. Nobody wanted to talk about it. But that's when everybody should have been talking about it, because now it's once again at all-time highs. So if you had bought at $15,000, put a lot of money into it, you'd be super happy right now. It's just not what we want to do, though. So we have fear of missing out. And when our stock or our equity or our whatever it is that we're buying, it's going down, we want to run away from it. We want to get away from this loser thing. Oh my gosh. So just another couple other quick FYIs. What percentage of investors are actual institutional investors? So on the actual stock exchange itself, if I'm out there trading, if I'm one of those day traders that I talked about a minute ago, who am I trading against? Am I trading against other people like me, ordinary investors, or am I trading against big institutional investment managers? What do you think? What is the breakdown there on the New York Stock Exchange? What percentage of investors are regular folks like me? What do you think? The answer is 20%. 80% of the volume of trades on the New York Stock Exchange are institutional investors. So great big financial companies with tons of money. They dominate the markets. So as I am making choices, or I'm buying and selling stock, we'll just stick with stocks. There's somebody on both sides of these trades. When I'm buying, somebody is interested in selling to me. And when I'm selling, somebody is interested in buying. So there's just two sides to every trade. There's two parties on every trade. And I don't know that a lot of people think about it that way necessarily, but that's just how it goes. So when you think it's time to buy, somebody else thinks it's time to sell. You think it's time to sell, somebody else thinking it's time to buy. Who's right? Turns out that you and I, retail investors, going back to that, over the course of 5 years, if I'm consistently day trading, only 1% of people are making any money. Those are not good odds. In fact, you would say that those are terrible odds. I would maybe just take my money and go to the online gambling place. Come to think of it, if people are winning around 52% of the time, which again, those are professional gamblers. So don't get it twisted, but just so you know. So, and just to close the loop on where all this money is going, by the way, who's making money from sports betting? Since 2018, states have taken in $4.3 billion in tax revenue, and sports betting has expanded to 38 states plus DC. Lots of money, big time bucks. So there's that. Let's ask some bigger, more important questions. Okay, shall we? Is it possible to make money in the stock market? Yes, it definitively is possible to make money in the stock market. People do it every day. People retire every day using IRAs and 401ks and their brokerage accounts. They're doing it every day. Okay, next question. Is it possible to beat the stock market? Okay. Is it possible to get alpha? So that's what alpha means, is if the stock market got a 10% rate of return in 2013, and I, as the investor, got a 12%, I got 2% worth of alpha. Stock market returned 10, I got 12, beat the market. Is it possible to do that? Yeah, totally is. There are people who are doing it. But it's like this. Is it possible to be a professional golfer? Yes, there are around 150 human beings on the PGA Tour any given time. So is it possible for you to be a professional golfer? Yeah, it is. You're also a human being, but there is a lot of water to go under the bridge there. To become a professional anything requires a lot. It requires immense time, immense resources to become a professional anything. The same is true of investing. So there are people that have dedicated their lives to being professional investors, and they are able to beat the market. Could you do that? Yes, it's available to you. Are you going to do that? Are you going to do whatever it takes to educate yourself and to position yourself, to give yourself the skills and the tools to be able to beat the market? Dear friend, only you can answer that question. So, but here's one thing I know for sure, is that there's a great, almost proven, I'm sure proven, way to make money in the stock market. It's called buying and holding. That's really what my gripe about all this is, and what I'm trying, the case I'm trying to make is doing lots of transactions, buying and selling consistently or constantly is a way to lose money. Hopefully I've shown that to you. What's a way to make money is, instead of buying and selling all the time, you simply buy and hold. You practice things like dollar cost averaging. So instead of just one time buying $10,000 worth of stock, you, like when you're inside your 401k, are putting $500 a month in and you're buying mutual funds, the same mutual funds, the same exchange traded funds or ETFs. So one month you buy your S&P 500 index fund, and it costs $100. The next month, it's $95. The month after that, it's $103. The month after that, it's $80. So over time, the cost per share goes down. So that's dollar cost averaging. That is a great way to find success in the stock market. I don't know what the stock market's going to do. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. Over the course of time, the market goes up 51% of the time and goes down 49% of the time. I don't know what it's going to do today or even tomorrow or the next day, but over the long term, I am betting that it's going to go up and my buy and hold strategy will be a winning one. There's a great saying that goes, it's time in the market, not timing the market. So when we are buying and selling shares, I go on Robinhood, I get my boost, I'm super excited. I'm a trader, I'm an investor, and it's incentivizing me with social media type tactics to make additional contributions, to make additional trades, just to have more activity on the platform. Because again, when my activity goes up, their revenue goes up. I'm trying to time the market. And I just talked about how I have no idea what the market's going to do. Again, it's possible. It's possible to learn about this stuff, but are you going to do it? I don't know. from my perspective, taking a very boring approach to the bulk of your investing is the correct approach. So buying and selling stocks, that's super active, which is what Robinhood wants you to do, from my perspective. Passive means I'm buying a low-cost index like the S&P 500, and I'm consistently buying more shares of it. And then I sit back and I watch it do whatever it's going to do, assuming that over time it will go up in value, which it historically has. And I believe, my belief, my perspective on this is that, again, the majority of your financial goals should be funded with this kind of an approach. So you want to be able to retire at age 65. So you put your plan together. If I invest this much every month, get this rate of return, here's how much I'll have at 65 or 70. Okay. Use boring, low cost, passive investing to do that. Same thing for your kids' college. Same thing for, I think, the most everything should be taking that approach. And then if you've done that, if you're on track to meet slash exceed all of your most important financial goals and objectives, I view that as you've given yourself a permission slip to take more concentrated approaches, which means to go and buy individual stocks or to go and buy cryptocurrency, go buy Bitcoin or whatever it might be. You've given yourself permission. You have positioned yourself for success. You got to let the chips fall where they may, but that's going to give you the opportunity, should you decide to go on and start actively investing, to let it rip. So, all right. Good news. Got a bonus round. Bonus round coming up. George G. What about F? What about F? You did marry, you did kill, but what about F?
Bang, 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 bang,
Okay,
bang, bang, bang,
I
bang.
got it. I figured it out. F. Kevin Hart. That's right. F. Kevin Hart. Whoa. What do you have against Kevin Hart? The comedian? Are we talking about the comedian? The hilarious, hilarious, talented, omnipresent Kevin Hart? Yes. Yes. That's who I'm talking about. He is a man with varied interests. He's super talented, super funny, really hardworking. He is everywhere. A couple of years ago, I learned about how he is working with, I think, Chase on developing financial literacy content. And he has a whole platform or program called Heart of It All. And on there, he's got videos and content. And he says he wants to help people get their money straight, get your money straight. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why I'm saying F. Kevin Hart. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's talking about financial literacy and he's cashing checks from DraftKings. I was researching the promos for these companies, and look at that. There's Kevin Hart right there on the landing page for it, which, in my humble opinion, from my perspective, is antithetical to becoming financially successful. When 80% of us are living paycheck to paycheck, drowning in credit card debt, getting crushed by inflation, the last fucking thing we need is to flush money down the toilet with online gambling. Sorry, not sorry. Fuck Kevin Hart. All right. All right. My work here is done.
Have I done a good job? Have I done a good job?
Here is a friendly reminder. There's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.